Thanks for giving me this opportunity to talk about the problem that I'm working on. And to, yes, as the title is towards, actually, this is important. The local index for twisted spectral triples. Actually, for the first half of the talk, I will explain about the stuff that I've learned from the paper by Kahn and Moscovici, type GN spectral triples, about twisted spectral triples. And then I will explain a little about how we have tried to make a BB co-cycle in the BB bicomplex, which is based on twisted commutators and the fact that twisted commutators are bounded. Actually, in their paper that I mentioned, they say that if you have a spectral triple AHD, which is finite summable, the inverse is good with compact resolvent, and the inverse is in L of n and infinity for some n, so such that d minus n in this ideal that the Dick Smith trace is defined, then one has a non-trivial trace on the algebra A. This is Dick Smith trace of A, D minus N. So, and they mentioned that, so there are many algebras that which come from type 3 examples, and there is no any non-trivial trace on them. So to incorporate them, they introduced the notion of twisted spectral triples. Maybe I just first explain two examples that they have, and then give the explicit definition. And tell you what happens to this trace in the twisted case. It will become a twisted trace. So the first example that they have is actually, first they assume that they have a spectral triple AHD, and A is a Banach star algebra, for example, and then they take a self-adjoint element here, and they look at the perturbed triple e to the power h d e to the power h, and so since it is a spectral triple and algebra A is represented in the bounded operators on h, and so we know that d and a is bounded by definition, but it happens that d prime and a is not bounded anymore. But the interesting thing is that one can find an automorphism sigma in the algebra such that d prime a minus this has a bounded extension to the whole Hilbert space H. And the automorphism is given by e to the power 2h, a to the power minus 2h. And actually, still, it's true if, again, you perturb d prime by e to the power k, d e to the power k again, then again, it will be a sigma prime or sigma double prime twisted spectral triple by another twist. But the next example is, which is a little more is more interesting in the sense that if we have a spectral triple, we already have a trace here. But the next example that they have is the infinity of S1 algebraic cross product with gamma, where gamma is a subgroup of this orientation preserving diffeomorphisms of S1. So if this gamma is large enough, then there is no any non-trivial trace on this algebra. And if so now I introduce the twisted spectral super structure on this. So the algebra is this. They represent the algebra A in bounded operators on the L2 of S1. So the Hilbert space is going to be L2 of S1, which if a typical element here, they denote it by A phi U star of phi in gamma, finitely many. And if you want, you can think of a phi as a function in C infinity of S1. And so a phi tensor 1 actually in the cross product algebra, and u star of phi to be 1 tensor phi inverse. And then they give this representation pi, that pi of a typical element like g u star of phi acting on an element C in L2 of S1 is going to be this new element in L2 of S1, which is phi prime x to the power 1 half g of x C or phi of x. The unbounded self-adjoint operator is going to be one over I d over dx, and the twist is the automorphism on the algebra is given by actually there is a natural way of thinking the derivative of any diffeomorphism of S1 as a C infinity function as a member of C infinity of S1 as a periodic function on S1 which is smooth. So and then if somebody looks at this, so I will use this notation where for example A is GU star of Y, twisted commutator, which by definition if you look at this and if you compute this and act it on XC and look at the value at point X, there are some nice terms, and at the end you have a term like C or phi of X. So it means that at the end there is no any C prime here, because if we have C prime it means that we have differentiation, which is an unbounded operator. So there is no anything unbounded here, and it is going to be bounded. And if you keep doing the same thing in this sense, that if you look at D2A minus sigma 2 of A D2 and act it on C and compute it at X, you will have some nice terms, and the terms that have only C prime, the second derivative will vanish. So it means that this operator is going to something bounded from the Sobolev space 1 to 0. So it is a good sign for the things that, some things that we have in mind to do later probably. So, and it keeps being like that. Okay. So that's all I wanted to talk about in this example. So now let me give the definition of a twisted spectral triple that they have in their paper. So a twisted spectral triple, if I have an algebra A which is represented in the Hilbert space, in the bounded operators on the Hilbert space H, and there is a sigma, or let's say sigma is an automorphism in A. So it's going to be to set twisted spectral triple. If this operator is unbounded self-adjoint, defined on the dense subset of H, and it has compact resolvent, and as I said, the important thing is that these twisted commutators are bounded or have a bounded extension to the whole space H for any A in the A, and we call the twisted they call the twisted spectral triple graded if there exists a gamma, or if you have a gamma self-adjoint in L of H such that gamma is gamma 2 is identity, and gamma commutes with the action of A, and anti-commutes with the action of anti-commutes with B. Later on, in their paper, so now they assume also finite summability condition to construct some Cauchy characters, some cyclic co-cycles, and a local Hochschild co-cycle. So I will just explain them very quickly. As a matter of fact, if they also define Lipschitz regular spectral triple, twisted spectral triple, so they occur to be Lipschitz regular if this condition holds true to absolute value of V is bounded. And this example is Lipschitz regular too. If this condition holds true that they have a, if they have a Lipschitz regular twisted spectral triple, and then if they look at the phase of V, and in a proposition they show that this is regular commutator with F times a bounded operator. So these are going to be quantized differentials of the same differentiability, or you know, in being the same ideal L, N, and infinity. If this one is, so by this method they can find the Fréton module over the algebra, and if that's if the twisted spectral triple is finite summable, this is finite summable too, and so they can construct this constraint character to be regular trace of gamma F, if we are in the graded case. If we are not, there is no gamma. So since there are n plus times differentials here, and it is in here, this is going to be a regular trace class operator, and the trace makes sense. And it's true even if n is even or it is odd. But there is a straight way to find a contrarian character for the even case. Actually, if without the condition being Lipschitz regular, one can find they have defined this. Let's insist in the even case, if n is equal to 2n, to be again the regular trace of gamma D inverse twisted spectral triple, twisted commutator, D, and there's a sigma here. So. So it just works for the even case, and the proof is the proof, maybe one can prove it as the similar thing is proved in the paper in 1985 by Kahn. Or directly one can start writing down the definition of little b and prove that it is a cyclic cocycle. And also they have introduced a Hochschild cocycle which has a local form. The Hochschild cocycle that... Yes?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Normally, you start with
three,
but
you remain
in
three,
but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. You start with three, and you don't have a three, because actually you have a regular type of cycle. Yes. I mean, if we just take, let's say, 2n plus 1, we have sigma. Sorry, man. 2n plus 1, sorry. And the last term minus 1 to the power something. You don't put a twist here, so. Plus, is this going to be a minus? Okay, so this is a regular cyclic homology, and it is going to be a cyclic cycle in there. Okay. So now, before introducing the local Hochschild cocycle, I just mentioned the proposition which is very useful in proving that. And the first property is this, that in the twisted case, this Leibniz rule becomes like this. And we have a proposition that if you have a twisted spectral triple with the inverse in L of n and infinity, then this linear operator is denoted by phi kilo this becomes a sigma minus n trace. It's not a regular trace anymore, and it means that for I tilde actually, if you look at the proof, the proof is that by induction they prove that d minus n a minus sigma minus n a is in this ideal on which the Dixmier trace vanishes. So if you take an arbitrary t in L of h, you can multiply to this one and see that the Dixmier trace vanishes again. So you can get and in the proof, in the process of induction, it is important that twisted commutators are bounded. So that's why you don't get a trace anymore. You get a twisted trace. And by using these two properties, these two, they prove that this map defined as psi d sigma as the Dixmier trace of gamma a0 this is a Hochschild co-cycle in the regular, as a regular co-cycle, cyclic Hochschild cohomology. Yes, in the odd case you have absolute value of d minus n and there is no gamma. And so in the even case, you don't need this. But it works, they have this for both of the, for both n being even and odd. And it has a local form. Local form, I don't really know what it means, but I have a feeling that if you have in this part just differentiation d's and all of d minuses or all of f's are at the end, then they call this kind of formulas local formulas. That's the feeling that I have. I should think about this and keep it in mind because sometimes. And then there is another thing that I was thinking about this is that in the regular case, it gives the Hochschild class of this Cantor character in the sense that if you compute these two on an n cycle A0 tensor AN, then they must give you the same value. But this and the other one, I can't find it. Actually, I think the other one was trace of, for example, d inverse d and a0. I can't really believe that they are going to have the same value on the a cycle because this guy is coming. This is a trace of something coming from this kind of elements, but here I have sigma minus 1 of a1 up to sigma minus n of an. And so I think if they want to give the same value on a cycle, there must be a condition on sigma as an invariance conditional.
At the point where there is no proof of
yes. Right.
So I mean, log sigma when you take the free case, definitely like we need some conditions on
sigma. Okay.
On the other hand, okay, it's very rare that you could construct two auxiliary for cycles on the same dimension, starting from there is something which is morally true, which is that if you can construct two states like an auxiliary common of the same dimension, so you have to do the same. Otherwise, you could make a transgression. I mean, you know, otherwise, I mean, you would do that, the difference and so on, and this is extremely out of the field. I mean, it's a general fact that the same as for cyclical cycle, you know, I mean, the function there was this cyclical cycle of the GLO, and then there is another cycle and so on. And you don't even need to think to be sure that they are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because otherwise, you get two different classes, you know, for no price, which is impossible. Then you, of course, you have to work out the proof.
Mm-hmm.
But here, okay, since there is no extra condition for both of them to be defined, if they are to be that they are different,
mm-hmm.
proof might be quite difficult. But they are to be that they are different.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, up to normalization.
Yes, yeah, there are some constants, and I should be careful about this.
And apart from that, they are
different. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, for the rest of the talk, I'm just trying to explain how we try to make a BB co-cycle, which is based on the twisted commutators. And we use the notations and the tools that Nigel Hexon in the paper has used. And at the end, he derives the local index formula of Kahn and Moscovici. Maybe I should use this one. To do so, we had to. We know that if you have a twisted spectral triple, then sigma is an automorphism of A. But for computations, I needed to define sigma on this twisted commutator too, and we define this to be, or just as a notation, not definition. Maybe definition might be a little problematic. So, as just as a notation. For D and sigma A sigma, which is, I will use this notation. And so this is a kind of useful because we can derive some identities. For example, the first identity that we will have is this. That so now that sigma is defined in this element, we are able to define this. This times this minus sigma of this times d. And this is going to be equal to d2a sigma 2. Of course, I look at graded commutator here. Also, this is one notation. Also, if I have x0, x1, that are either in the algebra or in the twisted commutators. I'm going to use this notation. And if lambda is in the resolvent of delta is equal to d2, I will give this definition. Let's say not a definition, just the notation. But you know, we have in mind to construct an algebra and then find an automorphism and find a twisted derivation or something. But so we haven't done that, so we'd rather take this as notation, dx0 lambda minus delta inverse minus 1 to the power degree of, so xi's are either odd or even, so the product is either odd or even, if we use this notation then this proposition holds true. So if I call this star, then star is going to be equal to, this is the kind of Leibniz rule actually, j equal to 0 to n minus 1 to the power degree of and then I have this twisted derivation. And on the left, I don't have any sigmas anymore. And degree of x minus 1 is obviously 0. In this part to make sense. So, now if you use this notation that Nigel Hickson has in his paper, that if Z is a complex number with a large real part and X are has those things, then he defines this complex function in XP at point Z to be gamma of z trace of lambda to the power minus z gamma x1 lambda minus delta inverse of 2 xp d lambda. And we define these maps, let's say for any p we call 0 or 2 or 4, this is going to be my cyclic, my BD co-cycle actually, to be a residue at s equal to 0 of evaluated at point s minus p over 2. The reason that if we put these things in here and compute this integral and why it's going to be trace class, so it is going to use the meromorphic continuation property, it is going to use some complex analysis, some asymptotic expansion, and these things, if they hold true in some natural examples, and then we can make them as hypotheses. So there is a lot to say why this makes sense, but we just want to use it and do, let's see what happens algebraically. And yes, they want to show that little b of psi p plus capital B of psi p plus 2 is going to be 0 by imposing some condition on sigma. So if we use this definition, then capital B of psi p plus 2 sigma by some complex analysis, one can see that this is going to be equal to still is still computed at S minus P over 2, not P plus 2 over 2. This is sorry. And but to compute little p of psi p, we need a condition on sigma. And the condition is that these two functions, the condition is this. If y and x are as before in here, then I'm going to expect these two functions this is the case. K can be only 0 or 1. These two functions, this function, and if I change this by sigma of x r, the rest is the same. I expect these two functions to have the same residue at s equal to 0. Be the same. Actually, I have used different definitions here, but with any of them that I work, at the end I have to use such a condition. So this is the one that has the least labor for me to prove that this is a Bebeko cycle. So I have to choose this. So and actually there are some conditions that like if I use the trace property to take this part to the end, and I use some asymptotic expansion to take all lambda minus delta inverses to end, and then integrate, there are some, you know, simpler conditions that might conclude this condition, because to check this condition like this, it is very hard. But maybe I can change this condition to do to that residue at s equal to 0 of A times T, that it has weight of D as, for example, 2k weight of D2 commutating with D2, and times D, for example, minus N minus 2k, the residue to be the same at s equal to 0. I think...
Then you don't have, even in the classical case, you don't have simple dimension spectrum. So if you don't have simple dimension spectrum, then you have a problem with the trace, or anything there. Mm-hmm. So in cycles, it's like a reinforcement of simple dimension spectrum.
Simple, it means that the poles are simple points. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I would expect that if you want to end by sigma, you should keep sigma depending on the complex parameter in the function, not constant sigma, but sigma depends on the complex parameter. Then you can use the fact that by start of the almost parameter that should be used if you use sigma too isolated, you will get it. Yes. After all the trace properties rely on the fact that for I enough value of
s, as,
you know, then your parameter will be trace class.
Yes.
And then you have the trace property. So you everything to come by analytic configuration.
Mm-hmm.
If you do analytic configuration, you should use the fact that when you do analytic configuration, you are changing the weight.
And you are not the total weight, right?
Well, but at least you are changing which power of D.
Yeah, appears here in T. And then the rest goes to the as minus 3 here, right? Okay, so it's really going to affect the condition. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so if you have this condition, then a little bit of... Oh, not really. We haven't seen...
This condition actually implies... I have a condition also. It's a provisional, but their condition implies this. They can check this for this few things that they found across gamma and S2.
Which in both cases, they have simple dimensions.
They have simple. That should be imposed from here.
That's why you put the gamma factors in the right, you know, because you get gamma terms in the expansion which depends on your amount of force.
Pardon?
The full local effect formula is not imposed, but the dimension spectrum is simple.
Yes. But I don't. Well. I can't see the. But yeah, that's something that I just read, yeah, but I don't know what's going on in detail, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so if we use. This condition, like maybe I, because I don't have time, I write the end condition that is going to be equal to. Where x0 is a0 and xj for j bigger than or equal to 1, and I can conclude that this is 0 because this is a kind of trace on a twisted commutator where we have the sigma invariance property, so this is going to be 0. And so now the problem is that once we have this, how to make a local form from this? So it means that we have to work out some asymptotic expansions. So the thing that, like if you use just ordinary asymptotic expansions to write it as an infinite sum, that if we pick enough terms here, then the difference is going to be somehow analytic in that sense. So then this is possible, but I don't know if it is useful in the twisted case or not. Because the other candidate, which sounds a little more natural in a very naive way for me, is that maybe I should use sigma minus 2 here, because I have the power of minus 2 for d here. And once I have done this, again I have, generally I need an expansion for all integers h, and then use these things, and then find the, bring all these lambda minus delta inverses to the end, and find the local formula. But this is something that, I don't know, if this one is easy. It's not twisted. Lambda doesn't have weight. Lambda doesn't have
weight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there should be some. Because the lambda has weight 0 and the delta has weight 2, so now if you extend, you have to fit on the
cancel. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Well, this is because these extra terms don't.
Yes.
Well, they don't cancel, obviously, right?
Exactly. No, actually, no. The thing that I think Masood is talking about is that when we use twisted case, well, in the ordinary case, if I add a new, a complex number with this, d2 anything, it is again d2 and a. But if it is sigma or sigma 2, well, then there is another term. So I have to treat these things differently. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all I wanted to talk about. Thanks.
Question number one. There was something interesting also, I think you know, you have seen this example with exponential h.
Mm-hmm.
This example, the origin of this example is that if you take a minor magnitude voltage and you change the conformal sum by a conformal weight,
which
is you change the metric by exponential 4h times u, then the Dirac operator is a very nice way how it's modified. So it's modified just by multiplying by e to the h on both sides. Okay. Now, what is interesting, you mentioned the fact that if you tweak again, you know, like you
resist
it, then you still get
a twist.
Now, in the case when the anima is really not committed, this is an interesting thing to investigate, because now we will have products of exponential age, you see what I mean? They are not exponential of the secondary age any longer, and so on. So it's probably quite interesting to keep track of all these compositions of common parts. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. This has not been done at all. So this example is a very simple example in which one should check all the computations which you are doing, algebraic computations. The best way to check if these computations are sound is to take an ordinary spectral method, twist it by this very simple formula.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is no way to fool around, because you see the algebraic formulas will have to be true on the nose. And you will have to check that whatever you take as an hypothesis is stable, is robust under perturbation.
Okay.
It's the requirement under zero. And I mean that you will write a formula for a local formula from three to three. We know there is one in the case when you don't put the conformal factor. If you put the conformal factor, you better always check whenever you are writing a formula that it fits.
I see.
With that case.
Yes.
And it's a case which is sufficiently general that you know, if you write a formula and it doesn't work, you know. If it works in all these cases, in a sense, the other cases are limited situations of that. So, I mean, then we get into general. But I mean, it's a sufficiently large class of examples where you can compute, because you have an ordinary spectral method to start with, and you have also the local formula.
What about the existence of conditions? I mean, first of all, I don't believe that there should be conditions, but it seems to be really there should be conditions.
I sort of doubt. You know, the fact that you can write without any conditions, that you can write a static cycle right away.
So far. Yeah.
No, not the cycle, the full one. The other cycle is not local.
It's not local, yeah, that's
the point. The point is that we know from the very start, without conditions, that you can write a technical cycle. So this you know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the local formula could be
right again. Then I think one should proceed with these steps, and then you can hide this Schill's cycle. Okay.
You can hide the
local.
Right.
So I think one very important problem is to prove that the class of this of Schill's cycle finite the same, you know, when you pair it. And as you were saying, okay,
in this case, I think the top part coincides.
Yeah.
Yes, if you use the extra condition on sigma, use this condition.
Okay. The point is that it's a little difficult now. What are the extra conditions for the local index formula? They are the fact that you have analytic continuation.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that whatever extra condition you have, it should be formulated that way. Now, it should be formulated that way. Why? Because when you are using your, you know, just taking from, the formulation by each term of the proof, you are not using the sigma z. What I would do, I would put the sigma z everywhere where I can put them. And I will require analytic continuation in this thing. See what I mean? And then I will use functions of several complex variables to prove the conditions that you are assuming. I think it's the right thing. I think that's the way. I mean, what is very natural is that you have a new parameter in the picture. This new parameter is this evolution under the sigma z. Now you have to use this new parameter and see how the dimension spectrum gets modified. And so I'm using this new parameter. Then the only assumption you should have is on the dimension spectrum. This new dimension spectrum with this new parameter. And if you want, what you have to do, you have to sort of get hold of something which is secure. What is secure? What is secure is that the trace, the ordinary trace, is a trace on trace class of variables.
Okay.
So this you can use if you are with real part I enough in the domain. And the only way we are here, we prove that you get the residues which are giving trace and so on, what biometric continuation?
Right.
But I don't believe that you have to put extra conditions. There could be qualitative extra conditions like this function of a certain behavior on the vertical screen, but I don't believe that it's an additional algebraic condition. And the way to proceed, I tell you, the way to proceed is to take this twisted example, minus the exponential h, mm-hmm. on both sides. There you know that you have the local net formula.
Right.
You will get a variant of this local net formula, of course, but by a formula with society. Then you apply your rule. But looking at this example, you will make sure that the formulas you are asking are indeed giving you cocyphers. And without this condition. I don't think that.
Yes.
I mean, I, the only one should be a condition about this automatic extension. Just because, okay, I mean, after all, you know, you prove things from here of the last class, then you do a nice combination. So you should have the same thing in your hand. Except
that's
that
true.
Now there is a new feature, which is that you have new parameters, and these new parameters are increased. And then they should be made independent. You see, when you are telling that you have the condition where you have to twist only one of the answers,
yes.
What it means really is that you should take independent complex parameters for how much you twist each of these elements, and then use holomorphic functions to set down variables, which is a very, very powerful tool.
Any other questions? No, just thank you, Father.